Hello, all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics podcast. I'm your host, Dana Kubal. Today, I have with me a very special guest, Jordan Loyal Short. Jordan, how are you doing today?
Great day so far.
Yeah, I'm so glad I could get you on. I've been trying to get you on. You're on my list for a while. It took me absolutely forever to finish season four. I was glad I got done just in the nick of time. Work was like wild over the summer. So this year, I'm like getting everybody reported for the first of the year. So that way, I could do a lot of fun things the rest of the time and then hopefully get ahead for season six. I already got people like flying in for it. So I'm so glad that we could get you on today and talk to you about, your writing experience, your books and characters, and just have a good time. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Really excited about it. I've been looking forward to this, as a matter of fact.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we'll start right there with that first question. What has your writing journey been like up until this point?
Oh man, I would say it's been a journey. A journey is the right word. All my whole life I've kind of written here and there. When I was a kid, my aunt tells me that when I was first learning to write, I was writing like little detective stories that were like,
Oh, that's cool.
a paragraph long. And then when I was in college, I got a little more serious about it. But life, especially when you're young, it's hard to writing a novel takes a lot of time and dedication. And, to be frank, I was kind of all over the place for a long time. And so it took me a while to actually get settled enough that I could consistently put in the time to complete something as long as the novel. I worked like at a essentially like a corporate middle manager day job for a long time, and during that time I started trying to write my first book, the first one that I actually finished, lots of starts and stops, and I it took me seven years to write
I
that
get
book.
that.
And then when I got done, I tried to publish it and no one wanted to publish it, and then I took a harder look at it and I realized, unfortunately, that it was probably, in fact, a trunk novel, as you may have heard of the. So I put it away and I didn't write for a little while, but I knew that it was still something I was passionate about and I wanted to do it. I felt like it was kind of my calling in life was to be a writer. And so eventually I came to a place where my wife and I had been working at that kind of corporate job and we loved the work. But unfortunately, they hired a boss that was not a great person to work for. And we both worked there. And so we decided that we were going to quit our kind of day jobs and kind of refocus our life more on the things that we wanted out of life besides just working. And for me, that was writing. And so we moved to a place where rent was a lot lower and I got a part-time job as a bartender where I could, make more money per hour. And spend more time focusing on work or on writing, excuse me. And so that's when I wrote The Scald's Black Verse, which was my first novel that I actually published, which is kind of like a Ragnarok vibes in space, Norse, grimdark epic. And I finished that and then self-published that. And of course, when I was getting ready to publish that, I, figured like this is the heartbreaking work of staggering genius that will take the world by storm, and everyone will, know my name and lift me up on their shoulders and carry me around cheering. Of course, the reality of self-publishing and just publishing in general is that it's hard, and it's hard to get people's attention. And even if you have people that really love the book, their attention spans are short. And so when you are working at my pace, which is been about once a year, you kind of lose their attention between books, and it's hard to recapture that. And so I think a big part of my journey has been discovering what it really takes to be successful in this and what it means to me to be successful. And so I definitely have tapered my expectations, but I also have kind of grown a lot. And it's been tough at times. There have been, I think anybody who has written a book has gone through all the ups and downs of, obviously not being like an overnight sensation, but also having something as simple as like a tepid review where someone is like, oh, this book is okay. I don't know if you can understand how absolutely gutting it feels when you read someone who says, like, this was all right. So it's like it's a struggle, but it also then you come to a point where you get these people that are like, oh my God, like I can't believe this. This book is so good. How do people not know about this? Like I love this character, or I like this scene just blew my mind, or and those are the moments that make it worth continuing. And so, I wrote the first series, which was like a grimdark series that is pretty between genres. And I was also another discovery of mine that it's pretty difficult to market a book that doesn't land squarely in a niche. And so that book is kind of like sci-fi fantasy and in a subgenre of grimdark. And it's like kind of dark even for grimdark. So I discovered that, that was a tough sell to a lot of people. Even though a lot of people like adore it, a lot of people just like, this isn't for me. People will read the prologue and be like, Jesus, okay, maybe not this. And then some people will read the prologue and be like, yes, here we freaking go. So after that series, I was looking at, sorry, my dog's freaking out over there.
That's fine.
I kind of took a hard look at that fact that I had hit between genres, and I wanted to write a book that fell more neatly into a established genre, so that I, because one of my
Yeah.
goals is to, I want to someday, quit my day job and be professional and have a stable income from mine and all that, which is, a tough road to hoe. It's difficult. So part of that was writing something that like fits a little neater into a package. And luckily I had kind of a high concept idea for my new series, Dragonreich. And that fit the mold a little better. And I'm just finishing the third book in the series, and I'm really enjoying it. It's very different, and like the rewards of it feel pretty different. But I love it. I really feel like I'm growing a lot as my characters take on a lot more dimension, I think, in the second series than in the first series, because it's so grimdark. It's not one note, there's moments of humor and pathos and all that kind of stuff. But I think that this genre gave me a little more flexibility to kind of explore people as individuals. It's hard to put my finger on exactly what the difference is, but I feel like that's where I've grown the most, and it's really, it feels good to be able to look at something like that and see your own growth and look forward to growing more.
I think that makes total sense. And like, I keep getting asked, like, why are you doing a prequel novella trilogy? I'm like, first of all, it's cheaper. Second of all, then I'll get three products out. And then third of all, I'm gonna do a Kickstarter, to then do as an anthology, to then prep some stuff. But like, I know it's a lot different than what other people have done, but I'm kind of like using it as training, to get better. So writing three things, right, that are like a trilogy, right, but they're shorter. So I'm hoping to learn some different lessons a lot quicker based off of what my friends have said. And then I have the main like book one for the series, starting as well. But I'm hoping to get four products out there pretty quick. Yeah, like I'm hoping I do some, like I do a lot of historical urban fantasy too. Currently I'm like in this, like our time period, but I got a lot of things that will filter for some other series and stuff for the universe. But I think it's definitely interesting, right, to see like what you're saying, right, for like the first trilogy, or series versus the next one, right? I just see so many people say that. So for myself, I'm kind of trying to cheat, I guess, and do novellas that way that then go in, and then it kind of expands the universe more. But it's so interesting, I think, when people try to start out and figure out what they want to do. I've been pretty solid about this. I've had people tell me like, don't do it, it's not going to work or whatever. I'm like, but for me, it's like, I think training wise it'll be a lot easier, not easier, but I'll learn a lot more and then kind of get prepped differently. But it's just based off of, I think, I just got done talking to Simon Kewen about this, is like, he does things so much differently than I would, right? So I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head, right? That like, you kind of got to go with, what you feel is best for you at first, and then kind of adjust from there. So I think for you doing that, I just think that's really smart. And you, it's kind of like the Muhammad Ali thing or whatever, right? Like, everybody has a plan till they get hit, right? Like, that's like literally when you do a series or a trilogy, right? Or you post a book, right? And you publish it. It's like you have a plan until you get hit, and then from there, you do what you can, right, to try and win. So I think that that's just really smart that you were kind of reanalyzed and kind of went from there. So I think that makes total sense. But that's awesome that
Thanks.
you feel this kind of hits a little bit differently for you. So that's cool.
It was a cool experience. I think it's also a challenge. I think like if you're planning out a career as a writer, it is, you know, if when you like kind of move from genre to genre, even if you're within fantasy, it is hard. You kind of have to recapture a new audience if you
Every
diverge
time.
a lot. And, you know, honestly, I really did like they're different. I don't think I'm always going to write the same kind of fiction. As much as I want to be commercially successful, more than that, I want to write the books that I want to write and the books that I'm passionate about. So I don't see myself as always writing the same thing. In fact, I recently got on a kick because, like many people, I read Dungeon Crawler Carl after someone told me about Lit RPG. I was completely skeptical and said, I'm going to freaking hate that. That sounds terrible. And then I read the story and it's so great. The characters are so entertaining. The world building is so fun. It's such a great story. And I discovered, oh, you know what? I kind of like the lit RPG element if it's done right. And so I just went on a kick and I've torn through dozens of like lit RPG novels in the last year. And I like them so much that I'm writing a lit RPG novel now. So
That's cool. That's really
jumping
cool.
genres again. But you know, like I said, I'd rather write the books that I care about and be willing to experiment and try new things than to pigeonhole myself into doing just one thing.
Yeah, and my thing, like, so for me, like, also, like, I talk to so many authors, right, and creatives, and that's again, like, I have people, they're like, you should just stick to one genre. I'm like, I'm not gonna do that because I'm new, right? So, like, for me, I'm thinking, like, it makes more sense. Like, I have some smaller stuff for urban fantasy and then dark fantasy, and I'd like to start two universes at the same time because I have enough, right? Where I definitely feel that I have enough here where I could just finish a bunch of stuff rapidly if this one goes well or this one, but I would like to kind of parallel them to rapid release where it goes back and forth. I have seen Patricia Briggs do this. Granted, they're both urban fantasy, it's her same world, but I don't know, man. She does such a good job with her Mercy Thompson, but then her Alpha and Omega series, and she flip flops them. Granted, that's traditionally published, but for me, I'm like, I think that's really cool. And I think it's interesting to see people where there's so many people, but by the time they get to like their seventh or ninth like novel or project or whatever, that's when they've hit their stride, in my opinion. And I've had so many people on here say that. And then it doesn't even matter, right, if they switch genres. Like I've seen that like countless times. So to me, I think that makes total sense. And I'm like, oh man, it's going to be pretty awesome when you release that, because now, in my opinion, based off of some people have been on here and other people I've talked to and podcasts I watch, like that's when people hit their stride. So to me, it's like really cool because I find a lot of people then find their real genre or their best genre when they've done that, particularly at that like slot. So I think that's really interesting. So I think if that's personally, I think if that's what you're really feeling, I think go for that because I think there's a reason for it. So that's really cool.
Yeah, and you know, from like a craft or productivity perspective, I've just kind of broken into this new pattern. But I have been writing the first draft of this lit RPG series at the same time that I am polishing and revising the third book in the Dragonreich series. And so having those kind of different tasks that I'm working on at the same time has actually really increased my productivity. Because, like, for instance, like if I'm just writing a first draft, there's only so many hours a day that I can be productive doing that. But I've discovered that if I'm doing that and then I'm doing revision, that I can put a lot more hours in. So I think in the long term, this will like maybe not double my productivity, but it'll look really dramatically increase it, which is obviously great.
I call it monkey barring because like I had somebody a couple seasons ago where I was like just trying to finish one. I was trying to finish my a fantasy novel called The Thief's Ambition, and it's a heist novel, and then it's gonna be like a trilogy, and I was like I just couldn't look at it anymore. Like it was on my third draft and I was like I just can't do this, and one of the guys on here goes like he's like, dude, I do, and I just talked about this with Simon too today, like he's like, I do my main project and wherever that's at, he goes, I'll do my secondary project and I'll do a third just for fun if those aren't working for me. He's like, because at least I can just keep going, and I've been doing that for the last couple of years, and I have to say I've been so productive even if I've just pushed things along. Otherwise I get into a situation like now where I've struggled to write anything because I'm trying to finish up my fifth draft of my prequel novella number one. It's like I just have not been productive. And then because I'm not being productive, I just keep getting in my own head. So today is the day where I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go to my third just for fun. It's like a D&D fantasy, just like a D&D party, like just doing stuff. I'm like, I'm just gonna go back to that because whenever I do that, I then have better ideas for editing or whatever. So I totally agree. Ever since I went with that route, I've been way more productive. I've gotten two novellas, like first draft written at least, if not two, three drafts, a full novel, for its third draft, not done, but I've still been way more productive doing that. And then since I've gotten away from doing that, I haven't been productive at all. So I totally agree with you there. For me, I think that it's important to find what works for you, and I challenge the audience too to try different things because I never thought that would work for me, and that's the only way I've gotten anything accomplished. So I think that's really smart.
And I think also one thing that's really worth noting is like that time away from the project and coming back to
Good
it
point.
with fresh eyes is really, really valuable. And it lets you see the things that kind of go on autopilot. And you can find, plot holes, but also prose that are weak or dialogue or whatever the case may be. Like, for instance, when I first published my first book, The Scald's Black Verse, I wrote it and I didn't have experience publishing, and I think I just it wasn't polished enough, and I published it, and it still was doing fine, but like there were a couple of reviews that I read and I was like, you know what, that's actually kind of a good point. And so after I think it had been out for like 3 or 6 months or something like that, and I had seen a couple of points that rang true for me in a couple of reviews. And so but the joy of self-publishing is that you're in control of it. And so I actually took the time, well, I was in the middle of the second book, and I think I finished the first draft of the second book, and then I said, like, this is a good moment for me to go back and like address these things. And so I actually went back and did a fairly Not like I didn't like totally mash up the plot or anything like that, but I had a strategic plan in mind to address a couple of these things that I thought were actual legitimate issues that I should fix, or just parts, mostly parts that felt like I knew how to strengthen. And I was like, you know what, I know how to round out that character better, or I know how to like make this kind of plot thread a little more seamless. And so I actually went back and I like made a little plan, and I went back through and I put in some new stuff into the first book, and then I published it again. And since then, like the reviews have been significantly better. And so I think, and honestly, it wasn't that big of a time suck, because like a lot of writing, that stuff is in the back of your head and you're kind of processing it on the back burner for long periods of time, especially when it's the first novel you ever publish, and it's like, a huge, it occupies a lot of your mental real estate. And so I had that processing in the background, and I was thinking about specific parts where I could implement that. And then I was able to like not make huge dramatic change. I don't think I maybe added one scene, but I wasn't like drastically doing anything. I was like adding details here and there and like altering dialogue slightly to change the tone. Like, for instance, there was a character who wasn't one note, but he has anger problems, and that's like a big part of his character arc throughout the series. But there were a couple of moments where I think it was too drawn out. So he was not feeling one note, but I know when I read a book and like people are bickering for too long, or just like someone pisses you off for too long without that relief, it can feel kind of wearing, or it's just not as engaging. You don't want to go back to it because you're feeling this anxiety because of it. And so I went in and addressed that, and I gave some moments of relief to that tension that I think really made a big difference.
I think that's really smart. And I think that makes total sense. Again, like you said, right? Like self-publishing, it's easy to do that. I've seen so many people where they're like, I just didn't like my first cover, or maybe the typography was weird or whatever. I do think that's the beauty of self-publishing. I haven't released my pre-novel. I had a cover that I was like really excited about, and then we have to like fix some things. People are like, it's too military fantasy and not urban fantasy because my character is a monster hunter and he is a Marine in the prequel trilogy for the first one. And I was like, crap. So I was like, well, that's the beauty, right? I'm not done with the book yet, haven't released it yet, so I can actually we're going to fix some things to make that more relevant. I think that's important to be able to do, right? So I think that makes total sense. So I think that's really smart on your part. So we'll get, I know we talked a little bit about genre, but just for sake of, you know, people watching and listening, what are your specific genres that you write in and why?
Well, let me tell you, I actually have these guys here. Oh, look, there's the Scald's Black
I love
Verse.
that
That's
cover. I love the typography too.
I love it too. They did great work on this.
Can I say, Jordan, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. I have to tell you, okay, because this is so cool, and I totally forgot to mention this to you earlier. And I don't think I've told anybody this, but your cover for that book is the reason why, and I'll have to send this to you privately because I haven't released yet, why I went with the cover and the colors that I did for my first urban fantasy book. I absolutely loved it, and I was like, this is so cool, and it just kept sticking in my mind, and then it just happened to work story-wise, so that's why I had Tom Edwards Designs do my cover. So I totally forgot to send this to you and to say this earlier, but when I saw that when it first released, I was like, I just loved the red. I just thought it was so cool, so I took that idea, gave him something, and he ran with it. So I am so excited to show you, because that was like my inspiration. It was really, really cool, so.
Glad to hear that. That's awesome. And Deranged Doctor Designs, they do amazing work, really,
Nice.
really great work.
Good to know.
Like this cover, when they designed this cover, the first I gave them like a write-up on what I wanted, and they came back with the first one, and it was pretty different than what I envisioned. And I just articulated like what I wanted changed. And a week later they sent me a new version that was pretty different, that was pretty close to what this is now.
Oh, cool.
And they're super professional. They're super motivated to get you what you want. Awesome. So anyway, The Scald's Black Verse is the first book in the Dreadbound Ode. It is, like I said before, very much like kind of a Ragnarok vibes in space. There are scenes with like space Vikings, and there's sort of a interstellar or a stellar empire that
Oh, good.
is an interplanetary force that's similar. Even though they're based on Carthaginians, there are
Oh, that's
similar in a
cool.
lot of ways to kind of like a Roman Empire. And so there's themes of like colonialism in the background. Bror, the main character, is a berserker who is a half breed, half of the native people and half of the oppressors. And so he's kind of caught between two worlds. And when shit really goes wrong on this planet that he lives on, it's like the apocalypse. And the oppressors are 100% looking out for themselves, and they're leaving the natives basically to die. And so he has to struggle to kind of get his people to fight back in order to save themselves from the end of the world. Meanwhile, there's like a kind of a divine rebellion in the background. There's this progenitor race of aliens that are like so powerful, they're virtually deific, but they had a civil war, in the ancient era, and now there's only two of them left, and one of them is like kind of like the evil guy, the bad guy, the devil, and he chooses the main character Bror sort of to be his pawn in the end game of their civil war that's reigniting now and is going to embroil the entire star system in this battle. It's like a lot of it takes place on a terrestrial kind of backwater, with these natives struggling against their oppressors. But then there are also like ships that take them to other worlds, and there are in further on in the series they have to venture into the realms of the dead. And it's a I love it. I think I feel when I look back on it, I feel really proud about especially the world building and the story as a whole. And the prose, I think, are really the strongest parts of the series. And I, so if you're really into like epic world building and cool vistas with interesting magic and that kind of thing, you should definitely check that out. It's a lot of fun.
Do you mind if I ask you real quick,
Dark as
Jordan?
hell, though.
Sorry.
Watch out.
Do you mind if we ask you real quick? Because it matches that third question, so we're like kind of cruising here, which is awesome. But this is like perfect time to ask. How'd you come up with that idea? That's such a like unique concept. That's really cool.
I think both of my series have kind of started from a single seed. In this case, it started from, and both times it has kind of been, they're fantasy books at their heart. So Both times they have started with a seed of kind of like a fantasy world building element. And then like that kind of floats around in my brain until I find like the theme that fits with it. And then those
Gotcha.
two things kind of coalesce into something. So for me, the idea actually started off with kind of thinking of the it's this weird and this won't make sense to anybody probably. But this is how it germinated in my brain. It started with thinking of the souls of two twins as kind of two subatomic particles in an atom. And then when you split them apart, it unleashing like an atomic level of power. And so things morphed greatly from there, but that was the seed where it began. And so I started thinking about these twins and how this worked out. And so, mild spoilers, but this happens in the prologue, so it's not too big of a deal. Roar, the main character, has his brother dies at birth, basically. And he is bound by magic to his brother's spirit. So basically, he's haunted by his brother's spirit. That's why he's a berserker, because sometimes his brother's infant raging ghost that's raging at its own murder will take over his body and like empower him with supernatural abilities. And so that character and that magic building or world building element kind of like slowly accreted stuff from there. So I think just like having a seed and then letting it kind of, build up in your the back of your mind while it's sort of like accrues different little elements that build it, because it takes more than just that for a book, obviously. So you need to, that's where I start. And then I just kind of let it build and build on the back burner until I feel like it's got enough that I can like, okay, now I'm going to actively like start working on drawing in the nuts and bolts of it.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, that's awesome. I like how you mentioned it as like a seed. So I think that that makes total sense because sometimes it takes a little while for it to germinate, right? And kind of go like I tend to just like throw them down now and let them kind of grow a little bit and then come back and check on them later. If they're ready to be picked, go from there. Well, that's really awesome. And
So
then
the same
Dragonbreak.
thing kind of happened with, so honestly, I'll talk about the same thing. So the City in the Dragon's Eye is the first book of the Dragonreich series, which is kind of like a adventure comedy, fantasy adventure comedy. Very much, I pitch it kind of as Indiana Jones meets Dungeon Crawler Carl. It's got kind of like the Nazi
Awesome.
punching adventure of Indiana Jones and
Sweet.
the humor of Dungeon Crawler Carl and the fantasy
Awesome.
elements of Dungeon Crawler Carl. And then same thing, it started with kind of like a seed. I was thinking about honestly how white supremacy is a disease. And it just kind of sparked this connection in my brain where I thought about it as cancerous. And then I,
Oh,
which triggered the main character. So the main character, Victor, is a channeler of the Dragon Well. And in the magic of
cool.
this world, when you channel, there's like a demon well and a seer's well and a sylvan well and a dragon well and a bunch of others. But you can draw from these supernatural pools for magic. And he, at the end of the Great War, he is saving his friends from an ambush, and he draws too deeply on the magic, and it gives him a tumor. So there's like an overload of magic, and it sparks this illness. So he gets a like a dragon scale starts growing on his arm, and it begins in this world. They have what they call tumorlings who have drawn too much magic, and they start to like metamorphosize into the supernatural creatures of the well that they draw from. But it's not a good thing. Like you don't just turn into a dragon, you turn into like a cancerous, malignant dragon that goes crazy and dies with a bunch of deformities and that kind of thing. And so it started with this idea that white supremacy was this cancer. And then I found kind of that fantasy connection where I could embody that idea of Victor getting this tumorous cancer of, turning it slowly turning into a dragon. And then I created like, okay, well, how do we put those together? Well, there's this kind of cabal of dragon supremacists who think that dragons are the master race and that the dragon well is supreme over all the
Oh,
other
interesting.
wells. And so there's historical parallels there, like in, clearly Dragonreich. So there's this group of people that are coming, this conspiracy that's coming to power kind of in the background, and they want to, make the Dragon Well superior over all the others. And so Victor, in his search for a cure stumbles onto their conspiracy, and the hijinks ensue from there, where they're trying to thwart these guys. But it's very much like kind of adventure based, where they're there's a MacGuffin, a buried treasure or something like that that they're chasing after, and they're like basically racing the dragon Nazis to the next treasure, and it's lots of fun, silly characters that have like surprising moments of heart, I like to think. But lots of silliness and jokes, and it's a lot of fun to write.
That's super cool. Well, that sounds awesome. I'm a huge Indiana Jones fan. I love when he's punching out Nazis personally. Yeah, that sounds awesome. And I love me some dragons. So I've always thought the dragon cult from Forgotten Realms was super cool. There was like so many great stories around that. That's ultimately what they were trying to do. Like Conrad was like make them the supreme race or whatever. So I think that's like super cool. They had so many different strings and put together in something that sounds really awesome. So I've seen that series in particular shared quite a bit recently. So I hope that it's I hope people keep going with that. So it's really cool. I like I said, like so the Dreadbound Ode for me was where I had first like seen you and it was book one in particular. I had that one on my Kindle. So that's gonna be the one in particular that I read. I always I'm behind with reviews because my kid came at a time like he was planned, but I thought I was gonna get more reading done. Ha ha ha, passed Dan. So at the time I did not. So I'm like a season behind for reviews. So I'm like putting reviews together for my up this season for the upcoming new year. So I had book one there. So I'm really excited about that. But I was like, oh, should I do book one for the Dragon Reich instead? Because I've had so many people. So some people like you, I'm like kind of toss it between. Like it's really hard to decide because both sound up my alley. But those are both super, super cool. I know I didn't ask this question necessarily, but I gotta ask it now since we talked really a bit about both of these series. Like, what is like your goal for characters? Like, what do you want people to get out of, your stories when it comes to the characters?
Yeah, I think it's different. And I think it's an interesting question because both of these series that I wrote have different tones. And I think that character development really needs to match the tone of your novel.
Totally.
And so in the first series, it's much more realistic and much grittier. And so in the first series, the characters are dealing with a lot darker problems, and they're dealing with, like in a sense, obviously, like the rise of a Nazi regime is a pretty dark problem, but the tone is in such a way, like if it's a grimdark story, like there's a lot of morally gray choices that they have to make, which you wouldn't force onto someone in an adventure comedy. You don't have that like Sophie's Choice moment in something that's like a silly adventure comedy. And so I think that really influences how you develop the characters. You want them to be deep and well-rounded and interesting, but you don't have to express that in the same way. So I think a big part of that is I want to do all the same things and all the stories as far as drilling into like what people are motivated to do, what sacrifices they're willing to make in order to meet those goals, and the histories that they bring into things, I think are so much more important than a lot of people really give that credit for. So my goal is dependent on what the series requires. So for instance, like the this is less true of like the main characters, because I think the main characters need to be pretty well fleshed out in all regards. But for instance, in Dragon Reich, I'm not really interested in humanizing the Nazi figures that much. Go figure.
It's fair.
Because the tone of the story is different, and what it's trying to accomplish is a little bit different. Like the first book is grimdark, and it's really like delving into the self a little more, and what you would do in like an unthinkable situation. Like how dark can you become when you are faced with the most horrible options in the world, which is not the same goal as when you are writing this adventure fantasy where there is a much more clear good and evil. So for instance, in Dragon Reich series, the bad guys are a little more caricatured. They still have backstories. They still have unique motivations that don't always align perfectly with the overall goals of the Thule Society, which is like, you know, the secret cabal of dragon supremacists. But they are not, I don't ever try to put you in their shoes enough that you're empathizing with why they are making the decisions that they're making. And part of that comes from my own moral perspective, where there's a certain point where it doesn't matter if you are traumatized. It doesn't matter what happened in your background to make you make the choices that you're making. If your choices are egregiously evil enough and harmful enough, you've crossed over a threshold where it's counterproductive to try to connect with you in a way that will bring me down to your level. So I think that's a little bit part of it. But as far as characters in general go, I want people to like them. I think in the first series that I wrote, I wanted people to be fascinated more with them. And I wanted people to just be like, yeah, like what would I do if like I was in this spot where there was like these three things that I could do and all of them were just awful? Like which choice would I make? And I think that that honestly, like it just didn't reach as many readers as I wanted it to. Like some people love that shit. Like some people eat it up. But a lot of people, when they're faced with a character who is like consistently sometimes abrasive, sometimes, you know, selfish, making these choices like that, they're not as likable. And that's just not as wide of a reach. That's part of why I made this shift to a different series, is I wanted to find something that connected with more people. So I think that that's a big focus. And I think that it's been really eye-opening and really exciting. And I feel like I'm getting a lot better at that specific point, because I made a point of kind of studying like, okay, well, what is it that makes a reader like totally invested in this character? And it's a lot of different things. But one, a really big important part is that like they want to love this person. They want to like fight for this person. They want to be like staying up too late, like because they're worried something bad is going to happen to them. And that's achieved, I think, more often achieved, not always. Like I think that the characters are just as complex, maybe even more complex in the original series, but because they're in such a dark environment, a lot of people just didn't connect with them as well. And I think that it's really been rewarding to find ways to make these lovable misfits, because that's really like the core of Dragonreich series, is there's three to four, depending on where you're at in the series, really like just lovable weirdos. And it was been a lot, really a lot of fun kind of exploring their eccentricities and like digging in at little bits of backstory and taking characters that at times feel really silly, and then like changing gears and finding moments where you're really, you know, you care, like, oh, you know, poor Wormwood, I can't believe that that just happened, like he must feel so bad right now, or like, oh, I can't imagine, you know, it feels really good to be able to have that dynamic tone where you can make something like hilarious and totally silly, like making dick jokes and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden you can like, you know, about face, and you can find a moment even in the same scene where you've had like this hilarity, and then something happens where there's a big emotional shift and you have like a deeper connection to that character. That I think is great. I love that.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that I've been talking lately because like now from Firefly has just been on my mind because like what a great character like they all were, but like I keep trying to like think and analyze like why I guess because Mal's kind of like Mal and like the Justin Heartless character from the Tracker and a little bit of Jack Reacher from the Prime show and the books are like kind of like how my Urban Fantasy character is very similar like mash those guys together and that's pretty much him. So but I like kind of thinking of like ways right where like he does certain things for a certain reason, but I also really want people to understand why and connect with him, right? And I always think back to Nathan Fillion. I think he just did such a good job with the swagger, but also the caring, right? Of the like the people that he cares about the most. And I think we all can, still really connect with that disenfranchised character, right? Who was disenfranchised with the system that he helped to try to create, didn't win, and then the fallout, right? But now he's got core people that, he's like, I'm gonna focus on them more, but then he kind of can't, right? Because there's other people that need his help. So I think that that was like such a great character at that time. I think he's even more relevant now. So, but I think that's what the complexity of the character, I think, is what I'm really trying to say. So I think that makes sense for what you're saying, because there's a reason that people like certain characters, right? And trying to analyze why that is, I think, can help your own writing. But I also think it's important to analyze your own writing. So I think that was really smart to reflect on your part. So I think that makes total sense. That's cool. So should we talk about bodybuilding or just go to the world building?
I see you flex these guns. Guns
I
out.
got to,
Guns out.
the audience knows my phone is just like, it's just too old. It's like it's on its last legs. But yeah, so what do you focus on when it comes most to the world building and why?
Well, I had prepared a lot because for everybody at home, Dan sent me a list of questions that he might ask, and one of them was about like, what do you do in terms of bodybuilding? And I let it, I'm like, is that, that's got to be a joke, right? Is he teasing me? I've got some dumbbells over there, but I haven't picked them up in a while. So probably getting rust on my carpet right now.
That's awesome.
Okay. But world building is what we actually want to talk about.
Yeah.
I love world building. I think for me personally, that's like one of the things that I absolutely like love about writing. I love writing itself when I'm in the flow state, but for me, a lot of the actual writing is getting into that. And so a lot of times that's can be a struggle to put myself in the mind state where I can actually like bust out a bunch of words that are good. A lot of times I'll have to struggle through a passage before I get there, and I'll have to come back later and do a lot more work to get that up to snuff. But for world building, I just like it's just a joy. I just really love that. I'm a nerd. I'm a fantasy geek. I love daydreaming about all things fantasy. It's really like it occupies a lot of my headspace. And so for me, that's really fun. I just do it naturally. I even if I had no writer's gift, I would just do it anyway, just to be daydreaming and thinking about that kind of thing. But as far as when I get into trying to translate all that kind of imagination and daydreaming into a novel background or a setting for a novel, I always start with a core concept and kind of work out from there. So for instance, I thought the core concept for world building, there were kind of two for the Dreadbound Ode. There was, this twin that had been bound to his dead infant twin soul, and that concept of binding souls into objects or other souls is one of the core like magical concepts. So for instance, Bror, the main character, is tied to his twin's ghost, and he's a berserker. One of the other main characters, Henrik, is what they call a binder, who's a magician who will basically like sacrifice animals and use certain methods to like bind their spirits into, say, a stone or another object like that, that he can then later unleash the binding as a magical spell. And so that core concept of binding souls became like a foundational thing. And then I built from there, and there's a lot of that's it's called the Dreadbound Ode. I don't want to spoil it too much, but Dreadbound is it's not really a spoiler. It's fine. It's fine. Dreadbound is like the term they use for when a soul is bound to another soul. So there are certain characters in the novels that are that have a different kind of magic than the average magic that's more powerful because they basically have the power of a soul at their possession. And so a lot of that came from that. The other element was, this like kind of this race that had come before, and it was like these godlike aliens that had had a catastrophic civil war that had basically whittled them down to like the heads of the two factions. And this current civilization had grown up sort of as a successor state that had flourished in the ruins of their civilization. So they use the technology, the magical secrets, like they build everything that they have on the foundation of what came before, but they don't have like the full understanding of it or the full capabilities of the society that came before. So like magical travel is souls. They the ancient civilization used human sacrifice to bind a bunch of souls into a hulk of iron. But because of their advancement in that magical skill, they can make those hulks of iron fly through space. And now the new society has those ships, and they know how to operate them because they know a little bit about how this magic works, but they don't know enough to build them. So it's kind of like a primitive spacefaring scene. So I take ideas that have like a little kernel, and I keep kind of expanding on them. And I do like, I think it's really great to do like mind mapping or just free brainstorming.
Oh,
Mind
yeah.
mapping is you have a central idea and you write it down and you just like draw a bunch of lines off it that have bubbles of related topics, and you keep kind of expanding from there. Or just take a sheet of paper, and if you have a just any idea, just write it down. And like I would often will keep just a pad of paper that just has random stuff like that laying around, and I will just, whenever something comes up, I'll just write a quick little note about it and just kind of keep expanding from there. And I think it's also important for me to give stuff like this time to really blossom, because if you, for me at least, if I just like have an idea like that and I try to just make it work, it's not fully fleshed out as I want it to be. I want
Yeah.
those kind of top-down ideas to really like trickle into all kinds of unexpected ways within the world building. And I think that's one thing that's really rewarding about fantasy, is when someone does that well, when they can have this big idea and they can have the implications of it in unforeseen ways that you wouldn't expect. You know, like the magic bleeds into the society in just ways that you wouldn't imagine, or that, you know, wouldn't be clear. It's obvious that the writer has thought through how this world would actually work and what would happen if, you know, say for instance, mages could like cause plants to grow. Well, that's going to affect agriculture massively, you know, and that's going to have an effect on this society. And when you see that kind of pop up in like little tidbit unexpected ways, it's really more rewarding than you would think it would be as a reader. And I think often as a reader, you don't necessarily notice that consciously, but when you are reading a book and it's got something and you see some little detail about it, like just pop up in like what the food people are eating, or like some greeting that a person gives their social superior, and that calls back to like a lore tidbit that was dropped two chapters ago, and you have that little aha moment. Making all those little connections is part of what's really rewarding about fantasy. So I really like to start with a big idea, give it time to accrue a bunch of little supporting details that are important. And then also I also think it's important to like be systematic about it at some point. I don't actually spend a lot of time doing that, but I think it's good exercise to keep from forgetting something obvious that you maybe should have included. So I will also, like, you know, just like sometimes jot down like, you know, culture or just big headings like that, like science, food, things like that. And I will just like try to like put in some details about that just to see if anything pops into my brain. Like, for instance, oh, this, you know, I should have thought like this other nation, like if they had a different perspective on, you know, this issue or this magic or something like that, then that would mean that this, you know, like practicing this magic in this society would be frowned upon or would be illegal. And things like that really, I think, add to the richness of world building. I think richness really is what makes world building rewarding. I think a novel concept is important, and but it's not as important as feeling holistic, because if it feels like all together, like consistent, and like there are unexpected details that you find, it feels more real. It helps you suspend disbelief. It feel like lets you feel immersed in a different world. And I think there are a bunch of different ways to do that. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with building on existing tropes and existing things. I think that can be great. I love a lot of, some of my favorite fantasy kind of just fits in that. It's like Tolkien-esque, it like hits this thing, but that's drawing on a lot of shortcuts. And I think that that's okay, as long as you're doing it consciously and you know what you're doing and you have your own goals for what your story wants to do. And if your story is to for myself, it's important to me that my fiction is kind of hitting on real world stuff, even if it's not always in an explicit or obvious way. For instance, my personal upbringing It was very religious, and I'm not really a religious person. And there was a lot of conflict earlier in my life about traditions that I didn't really accept and didn't embrace. And so that theme of like toxic traditions and toxic religion is a really prevalent aspect in the Dreadbound Ode, because there are a lot of practices and prejudices and biases that have really, darkly negative outcomes in this grim setting where people are struggling for survival, and you have one group that, believes a certain way, and then you have people that don't fit into their perspective as equals, or don't fit in, or just they don't trust each other, whatever the case may be. Like, I want to use those real issues in my writing. So I always want to struggle to find ways that I can make connections between, the issues that I see as important to express and to get people to think about, and to make those fantastical and fun and cool.
Yeah, as I my we just were talking about that, my buddy the other day, he's like, you just can't help bringing history into things. I was like, lingering issues are, yeah, like I was like, they're still happening, right? And that's like, people want that, I think, in in fantasy and sci-fi, like they want to be taken away, but they also want to see how somebody in those settings, right, deals with the same problems we have on a particular way, to maybe even get some motivation to do so themselves, even if it's a small way, right? I thought, I think that's why people like, the Lord of the Rings so much, is that like Aragorn's great, everybody's great, but it's really not these powerful characters, right, that make a difference, right? Like they kind of, they're like somewhere else, right? It's really these two little dudes, right, that are, not your warrior type, right? But they change over time, but it's those little acts, right, of friendship, and I think that's what sticks with people the longest, right? Or not, it's not Aragorn, right? It's the, it's not Gandalf or Legolas or Gimli, who are amazing characters, some of my favorites in the genre, but it's really like these two characters that
Samwise
so,
Gamgee.
yeah, oh my gosh, like he just such a, like, yeah, just an amazing character, but not for the same reasons, right, as the other ones. Like totally has his own vibe. I think more people relate to him than they do everybody else. And Frodo having the ability, right, to and not Aragorn, right? Like Aragorn can be like, yeah, keep the ring or whatever, right? But it's really Frodo that does it. So I think that makes total sense, is like seeing the what you can take from our world, but also showing people how to deal with those issues with characters. I think to me that helps. Like I want to escape. I'm a teacher. I deal with crap all the time. And not for my job, but just like having to help kids through their crap, right? And like that's a great part of the job, but it just weighs on you sometimes that these poor children have to deal with some of the worst things you could imagine, and they can come to school every day with a smile on their face and still trust you and stuff, and to help them, it's like it's crazy. But for me, it's like escapism. I really like that for for fantasy and sci-fi. So but I
Yeah,
I
and
still like to see the elements.
it's a real interesting tension too, because fantasy definitely has escapism, and you want, that's part of the allure of it. But I like also wanting to address real things, like finding the balance between those two things is great, but it's like incredibly rewarding too. For instance, in the book that I'm just finishing now, the Dragonbone Elixir, which is the third Dragonreich book, there's a moment where one of the characters writes to a loved one who is kind of like has gotten caught up with the bad guys, and the character that they're writing to has kind of gone astray, and they love this person, but they like they're disappointed with them, and they like are deeply conflicted about what's going on. And so I wrote this letter from this character to their loved one, and well, honestly, like my own family, there are people in my own family that I feel like have gone astray, and they've embraced ideologies that have taken them away from their own core beliefs, and they don't see it. And so I wrote this letter, and it was really, it wasn't even when I was writing it, but when I was editing it, I went back and I read this letter, and it made me tear up, and it made me very emotional, because it was not all about the same stuff. But it was had a lot of parallels, and I wanted to write this letter to my loved one, and like if I could express how my heart felt about where they were at in their moral journey,
Yeah.
you know, this would be it. And I got to put this into a story. And like it felt just for me, it just felt like cathartic. And I think that a lot of people will read something like that and kind of have a similar experience because I think, particularly right now, you know, we're having a moral divergence and it's hard to connect with people. And there are a lot of reasons for that. And there are, you know, not just moral differences, but algorithmic differences and, you know, tribalism of political stripes. And we're dividing in ways that we haven't before. And so I feel like when you can hit a moment like that, it's, you know, that's kind of what makes it all worthwhile to be a writer, because you feel like I felt this. And I know that someone out there is going to read this and it's going to hit them in the same spot it hit me. And that's like conveying ideas like that and emotions like that is, I think, what makes being a writer worth it.
I totally agree. I think that's totally true. I know we're winding down on time, but I got asked this question. If you could hang out with one of your characters for a day, which one would it be and why?
Would definitely be Wormwood, who is kind of like a zany old man alchemist in the Dragonreich series. Actually, the main character of one of the books, the newest one that I'm working on, Jabbar Wormwood, is just like he's sort of like infamous in circles, and he has kind of like legends around him in some points.
Oh, cool.
But he is very—he's kind of like he uses his alchemy, like hallucinogenics, a lot of the time. And he's very into like exploring astral spaces and uncovering like the hidden nature of reality through psychedelic exploration. But he's also just fun, and his brain just kind of works just a little bit differently than most people's. And so there are just a lot of moments where he will say or do something that is like to him, like makes perfect sense. But to everyone else around him, you know, like the disconnect is where that hilarity comes in, where you're expecting this response to what, you know, like 99% of people would emotionally respond to this situation. And he says something out of left field that like makes logical sense, but like doesn't make sense emotionally or whatever the case may be. He's just a lot of fun. He's weird. He says what he feels. He does what he feels. I don't know. He'd just be a really interesting person to spend a day with. You would absolutely 100% have a day that you would remember for the rest of your life.
It's really funny. That sounds like my uncle. That's awesome. It's a great answer. Somebody gave me that question a while back. I was like, I've tweaked it a little bit here and there. I've just gotten some amazing answers. I definitely want to make sure we have time to tell us any news, updates, current projects, anything like that you can share with us today.
Yeah. Well, I am just finishing the third book of Dragonreich. So that is coming out November 11th. As a matter of fact, as we're recording this, the cover reveal will be tomorrow. I'm sure by the time it
Oh,
airs,
gotcha.
that'll be long gone. But I'm really excited about that. I'm loving writing this series. I especially love this book. It's funny. It's actually shorter than all of the other books I've read. But as I'm going through and revising it, I'm just like, I'm kind of glowing because it's just this book is really fun to write. It's really fun to read. Normally, you know, as a writer, you probably know in the process of revising a book, you read it a gajillion times. And by the time
Oh,
you're
I'm so
ready
tired of
to,
mine. Yeah.
well, by the time you're ready to put it out to the public, you're just like, no more. But I'm actually, as I'm at the tail end of it, I'm still having a lot of fun reading it and
That's
just like,
awesome.
oh yeah, this moment is great. Or like anticipating like, ooh, guess what's coming up now? So that's coming up November 11th. The Dragonreich series, book one is City in the Dragon's Eye. Book two is Pages Pyre. Book three is Dragonbone Elixir with Jabbar Wormwood as the main character. So I'm excited about that coming out. I also, like I said, I've started working on a lit RPG series, but I don't expect that'll be out for a little while.
Oh, that's super cool. Well, that's awesome. I want to just remind our audience that you can find Jordan's book and social links down in the description below, anywhere you're watching or listening to this podcast. I want to remind everybody our theme for the last couple seasons and all of season five is going to be that anything that you're buying, reading, watching, whatever, please make sure you're reviewing those products. It helps everybody in the process, not just Jordan, but the other people have helped him as well. But it also helps our authors and creatives and everybody that we've had on here as well. I know I have a lot of people that are behind me on a team, so that do well when I do well. So I would love to, help those people out as best as we can. There's a lot of people in the process, and they help us to get you guys really cool things. Jordan, thank you so much. I'm so glad we could do this for this season. I'll be emailing out, the rest of your details and everything, send your thumbnail and stuff. But other than that, have a great rest of the day. If there's anything I can do, once you have the cover, feel free to share in the podcast group, send it to me. I'll get it out wherever. Please use us as much as possible. There's amazing people that will share everything if I do. So send whatever you got and I will get it out to the audiences. And other than that, my friend, good luck with writing and hope you have a great rest of the day. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. I had a lot of fun. Glad you had me on.
I am excited to talk to you in the future about Lit RPG and book three and stuff like that. So let me know. We always give alumni of the podcast first dibs on the next season. We save slots for you guys. So if that's something you'd be interested in, let me know and we'll get it set up for you. Okay.
Yeah, all right, thanks.
Awesome. Yeah, not a problem.